Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cervi, Fred Film Radio, again with Fedra Fateh. Good morning, Fedra.
Good morning, Angelo.
We are a very, very early birds, as they say. So we are up very early in the morning. We have time to have a nice and more relaxed chat about another other topics that we were that we wanted to discuss, which are the other two masterclasses that you programmed for the Torino Film Festival, which are actually two masterclasses that have a kind of link in terms of connection and themes, because one is with Mohsen Makhmalbaf and the other one is with Walter Murch, and I don't remember the name of the other director.
Tahi Amirani.
Can you tell us why, when you have to pick the theme and the guest for the masterclass, you want to do these exactly two topics that you're going to treat?
Yes. Actually, all three of my masterclasses are around this theme of how cinema can bring change in the real world. And we just took three angles of that, in the sense that my personal interest to be here in Torino is to explore again cinema as a tool of social justice advocacy. So our first masterclass with two women who are actually, you know, challenging the legal system using cinema to bring lawsuits in real courts, and using film both as evidence and also as an educational tool, is similar to the themes of the other two. So the masterclass with Tahi Amirani and Walter Murch was around their film called Coup 53. Coup 53, again, is another real event. The film is a documentary. It's about the coup that took place in 1953 when the UK government and the US government overthrew Iran's democratically elected leader. The importance of this film is that even though the history is known in some circles, it shows that it's the power of images and having people tell a story in their own voices that really brings the story alive. And then to have, you know, a world-renowned, iconic editor like Walter Murch, again, the art of storytelling requires, you know, a gifted storyteller. So in the hands of Tahi Amirani, a physicist and documentary filmmaker, an Iranian who really did this film very much as a labor of love, plus Walter Murch, someone of his stature and gifts, the two of them come together and have offered us a masterpiece that brings a very important historical event to the wider global audience.
I wanted to ask you, did you discuss, or did Walter Murch discuss during his masterclass, how different it was for him working as an editor on a documentary film compared to the mega films that he did, like The Godfather 3, The Conversation, or The English Patient, that have a narrative that was completely different, like a rhythm of narrative completely different? Did you talk about that? Did he explain how he approached the documentary filmmaking?
Yeah. Yes, actually, that was a question that was asked. And the answer that he gave is that in his other films, he receives, you know, the full movie, the full narrative development from beginning to end, you know, knowing where the film is going to go. This film beautifully captures the very sense of mystery and discovery and historic, you know, unraveling. So as the two of them are actually doing the work, the path becomes clear at some level, step by step. Tahi spent 10 years making this film, and he managed to enlist Walter Murch because Walter had been working on a documentary film called Particle Fever about the Higgs boson particle, and Tahi happens to be a physicist, so they bonded over physics, and then again, it's really wonderful to have someone of Walter's stature bring credibility to this kind of film, which is really, you know, mostly known by people of Iranian heritage. So he did speak about, yes, the fact that, you know, that the film, I mean, how to tell a story where the story is unfolding as you're telling it is obviously very different from telling a story where the screenwriter of a film like the documentary or The English Patient already has figured out all the steps. He actually made this very interesting comment about how they, you see in the film how they actually manage, you know, the information and the paper, and they use post-it notes. And he said that he would create a post-it note with an X, you know, as part of sort of like the storyboard, so to speak, referencing, you know, the unknown questions. And so, you know, that has really remained, the X remains at some level until the end of the film.
You just said at the beginning of this conversation that the reason why you chose these three masterclasses was that you wanted to prove, to explain how cinema can change lives and can communicate. It can be like a tool to bring out controversial issues. I was curious to know from you if you ever discussed with your guests how the storytelling has to be adapted to the media, and if some stories cannot be told truthfully through a narrative form because they are too complicated or because they are too controversial. So this was, I don't know if I was clear in my question.
When you say true, I mean, I think we did talk about the importance of actually telling the truth, especially where the truth is not entirely clear. If we think about, you know, even say, you know, other important historical events, like, let's say, the killing of John F. Kennedy. I mean, I'm blanking on the name of the Oliver Stone. So we know that, you know, big historic events, it's not even clear what the truth is. So let's look at the Trump administration and questions regarding his relationship with Russia and China. Let's consider the killing of Khashoggi. I mean, the killing of Khashoggi is a contemporary event, and we don't know what the truth is. So journalists today, you know, people who live that experience, we still don't know the truth. So just imagine what it must be like to tell a story that occurred 70 years ago. But again, I think the beauty of the film does not rest upon the necessity of having all the facts, you know, crystal clear. I mean, you know, I'm an attorney, and every day there are lawyers who show up in court arguing over, you know, what happened. So I think that all of us are navigating a world where there is never one true story. There's never one perspective. We see it in the United States with the Black Lives Matter movement. We see it here in Torino, where there was protests and some vandalism. Actually, I was outside in the street of Torino when the young people broke the Gucci vitrine and stole the merchandise. I actually saw the guy, which was, you know, kind of interesting. So even if we were to recreate and say, okay, well, what happened? Who was he? You know, did people stop? Did people do something? So the truth is murky. I don't think we need to focus too much on requiring a storyteller to tell the absolute truth. The question is, we know whether we're being manipulated or not. We know whether someone is in fairness trying to tell the story as best as they can. And I think that the beauty of the film Coup 53 is that it does present the story in its multifaceted, balanced manner.
And probably, I think, it's also the fact that storytelling through films can address issues that are so controversial that real politics and real life cannot actually address in the same way. So you are unveiling a story under a certain point of view that official politics and official life cannot unveil. I was curious to talk to you also about the Mohsen Makhmalbaf masterclass, because he's a very renowned filmmaker everybody knows him, and he has also is also one of the bearer of a concept that is really interesting to me, saying, which is that he said more than once that if cinema is unable to change society, then we don't have to do cinema anymore because it's useless, which is a very bold statement, but it's a very clear concept. Did you discuss with him about that?
And yes, actually. Yes, we have the masterclass tonight. I had the honor and privilege of having my own mini masterclass with him yesterday in prep for today's masterclass, which I held in with Vahid Rasku, who is the co-curator of this event. Yes, he makes that very clear statement that there. He said that cinema should have three objectives. One is. Film should be, again, one of the three. One is this idea of the journey to the unknown. So it's taking you to a place that you have never been, to an insight, knowledge, understanding that you don't have. The second one, he says, is the purpose of cinema is to shine light on the darkness. So this could be issues that are not being addressed, not well understood. I think the films in competition this year, I don't want to prejudice the jury, but there are two films in particular that I found to be very powerful that do shine a light on a darkness that we know but we don't pay enough attention to. Yeah. And the third objective of cinema is that, according to Professor Mahmal Bhaf, is to be a mirror. To be a mirror to show us ourselves and our society. So I think that he's correct in saying that the point is not just to pass the time and be entertained. It should transform you in some way or the other. I have to say that I'm selective in the films that I watch, because to give 2 hours of one's time, after we're all having long days and busy schedules, it is important that a film give us something. And he does speak about the responsibility of filmmakers, to offer us something that falls into one of these three categories. And he makes some very interesting points about this idea that to know how to make a movie those are just the tools. He says it's almost like when you put your glasses on so that you can see. It's just a mechanism to tell a story. And then the question is, so then what is the story that you're going to tell? So as the masterclass is titled Educating the Next Generation of Filmmakers, he's addressing his comments to aspiring filmmakers, film students, and he says that it's not enough that you learn how to hold the camera, how to cut, how to direct. You also have to have learned something in your own life. You should understand psychology. You should understand the larger societal issues that actually don't relate to cinema, so that once you've mastered the tools, you actually have something that is worth saying.
Listen, Fedra, I would like to talk to you. I would like to ask one last question. You had like two out of the three masterclasses that you plan. How did you perceive the result of them? I mean, how was the student audience reacting and participating? Are you happy with them?
It was an honor for me to have the conversations. Two things that I would have liked to change is that I think the masterclasses could be longer because, because these are not directors who are making some, simple Hollywood movie, we're talking about deeply important, complex societal issues. So to have the opportunity to have a conversation with Walter Murch, Tari Amirani, or Mohsen Mahmoudov, these are the kinds of conversations that, can't be tidied up in 60 minutes. Just to say, yesterday I had a prep for the master class, and that lasted an hour and a half, and the only reason we didn't keep going was because I had to rush to the mole to do the master class from yesterday. So yeah. I think the master classes should be longer. The second recommendation is I wish that we opened it up, to at least a larger public. So, it's wonderful to give a select number of students an opportunity to ask those questions, but it would have been nice to also allow a larger public to submit questions, perhaps via email, so that we could have, had the dialogue with a larger group of people. And the third is, you know, the festival first made the broadcast available only in Italian. And even though, you know, all three of my master classes are conducted in English with international figures, so after we were able to get yesterday's masterclass on Facebook, you know, we had a much, much larger audience listening. So, you know, these would be my three recommendations going forward. To have these conversations with such insightful people is really a privilege for all of us. You know, I mean, think about it. It's not easy to reach these kinds of
people. Exactly. No, absolutely. And then, you know, as we said probably in our first meeting, is that this kind of masterclasses are actually real masterclasses. So this is the strength of it. So this is why you're completely right that those masterclasses should be much longer, because it's not just somebody talking about his work. It's digging deeper in the reason and the philosophy of his work. So this is what is more important, and actually teaching something like a class should do. I think that for the first time, those masterclasses were pretty good, actually. Even if with those flaws that you just mentioned. Well, Fedra, thank you very much for your time again, as usual, as nearly every day since the festival began. We are going to meet again on another issue. And for the moment, thanks a lot and have a nice day.
Thank you, Angelo. It's a pleasure to speak with you and to engage with you and your audience. And these are important conversations to be had, especially now with COVID. We have a little bit less activity. So with life being a little bit slower for some of us, especially young people who are stuck at home, I think it's a tremendous opportunity to get closer to these great, you know, masters, these interesting advocates and activists, and to learn from, you know, their insights, to draw inspiration and guidance, and hope to inspire, you know, the next generation of filmmakers and activists.
So thanks a lot. I totally agree with you, by the way. And thanks a lot, Fedra. I am Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.